Turn this morning in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Gospel of John and chapter 15. Be reading together verses 1 through 8. Hear now the Word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. May God be pleased to add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Quite a few years ago, my wife and I purchased our first house. And to say that that house was a fixer-upper would be the understatement of the century. But nevertheless, it was a house, and it had a lot of things that I had long desired. It was out in the country, situated on 6 acres of land, had a small creek. And one of the first things that I wanted to do was to plant all kinds of fruit trees and nut trees around the property. We had this desire to be self-sufficient and have our own food supply coming in from all these fruit trees. Now, the problem was that I did not know very much about fruit trees or nut trees for that matter, any kind of tree probably, but I didn't know a great deal about it, but I had high hopes. I had high hopes that there was just going to be a plethora of fruit and nuts and a supply of food that was just going to fill our table every day of the year. Well, the first year, there was nothing. That was okay, because I know first year, fruit trees were not meant to bear. Second year, there was a small amount of fruit. It actually began to work and to produce, and I was excited. Until about halfway through the season, all the fruit rotted and fell off the tree. The third year, there was an infestation of bugs. We never even saw any fruit. The fourth year, major sections of the trees got sick, diseased, and died. And finally, I ended up cutting the trees down. Now, to say again that I was disappointed is not adequate. But what I did learn was there are a lot of things, many things, that can keep fruit trees from bearing fruit. Now, I'm not here this morning, obviously, to give you a lesson in horticulture. But I am here to talk about bearing fruit. Not apples and pears and peaches, but spiritual fruit. Bearing the fruit of godliness that increases, that impacts and affects the way we think and the way we speak and the way we act. That's the spiritual fruit that I am interested in. And of course, this is the first Lord's Day of a new year. And so, perhaps many of you have already begun to make resolutions, or you have set some goals, things that you want to do differently this year as opposed to last year. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe that every single one of us will have at least some measure of a desire to grow spiritually in the coming year. We long to see things change. We want to see spiritual fruit produced, to be more pleasing to the Lord. Perhaps at this moment you have high hopes that the changes or goals that you have set are going to have a tremendous impact upon your life and things are going to change. Maybe it's going to lead to more prayer. Maybe it's going to lead to more scripture memory or familiarity with God's Word and His teachings. Maybe you feel that things are going to change for you as far as church. You're going to be more involved and more committed and serve the Lord in a more aggressive way. Brothers and sisters, here's the question. Do you know what it takes to produce spiritual fruit? You want to have fruit. You want to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what that takes? Do you think that if you just maintain, the fruit will produce itself, all of a sudden it'll appear on the vine or on the branch? Do you think that if you just work harder and more diligently, the fruit will be born? Do you have any idea that there are 1,000 obstacles that can hinder that fruit, if not prevent it altogether? Now, the words of our text this morning, familiar words from John 15, speak directly to this issue of being a fruit-bearing believer, of bringing forth spiritual fruit. It doesn't give us everything. This is not an all-comprehensive statement that our Lord gives, but it does provide us with the first absolute essential step. It gives us the foundation stone upon which a spiritually fruitful life is built. This much we can say. If you want spiritual fruit, you must, no questions, you must abide in Christ. And if you don't do that, there will be no spiritual fruit. You will encounter all kinds of obstacles and problems, and the fruit will not come. No further progress will be made. Now, what exactly is this abiding in Christ? As we look at these words, particularly verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Plainly and clearly, decisively, our Lord is showing us the absolute necessity of abiding in Christ. Probably if you listen to the news on the radio or you watch the evening news or some other source of that, you from time to time will probably hear one of those clips about a would-be criminal who is just not one of the brightest boys on the block. One of my favorite examples of that is the story of a man who decided he was going to rob a little small-town roadside convenience store very early in the morning. And the man goes into the store and he pulls a gun and he demands money. The clerk very calmly says, "I'm sorry, sir, but I can't open the cash register without a purchase." So the man looks around, he picks up a six-pack of soda, he sets it on the counter and throws a $20 bill on the counter. And she said, "That's fine." She opens the cash drawer, hands him all the money in the cash drawer, and he leaves, leaving his $20 bill on the counter. The problem was all the cash in the cash drawer totaled $17. And when you think about this robber, he made several mistakes, not the least of which was that he thought there would be a lot of money in a small town convenience store cash drawer early in the morning, first thing before any business had transpired. He was looking. If he was looking for money, he was looking for money in the wrong place. You want to rob somebody who has money, you go to the bank. You don't go to the small town convenience store. Now, my friends, I already pointed out, we have a desire. We have a desire to grow. We have a desire to see spiritual fruit. We have a desire to see things change. And we will readily acknowledge that there's lots of room for improvement. We don't love God like we should. We don't have a hunger and thirst for the things of the kingdom of God like we should. We don't pray like we should. We don't witness like we should. All of these areas. Now, the question is, why? Why is that? When we live in a country where we're free to worship and own Bibles and do Bible studies, and we have the airways full of Christian doctrine and teaching and bookstores everywhere you turn, we have so many privileges. But spiritually, our lives are often anemic. We don't have the spiritual fruit. Why is that? And I am afraid that in many cases, it's like that robber. It's the manner in which we're going about it. We're looking for spiritual fruit in all the wrong places. Either we think it's just going to happen as long as we maintain, or we think, well, if I go to church and listen to the pastor, then that will produce spiritual fruit by definition. Or maybe you look to a spouse or to your parents, your children might be thinking that if I just look to my parents, they'll take care of it. Or maybe a good friend. And perhaps most common of all, we look to ourselves and we think, well, I just need to do more. I just need to try harder and I will bear spiritual fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, the words of our text, in particular verses 4 and 5, set before us the proper and right procedure. They, for all intents and purposes, set before us the only procedure that will bring forth and produce spiritual fruit. The absolute necessity is stated here in unmistakable terms. If you want spiritual fruit, brethren, you must abide in Christ. You cannot do it. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 4. As the branch cannot, it does not have the ability to bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. My friends, there is no alternative. There's no plan B. There's no option here. If you want spiritual fruit, You must abide. And if you do not abide, you will not produce spiritual fruit. Clearly, the necessity, absolute, unmistakable necessity of abiding in Christ is required if you are going to bear spiritual fruit. Let's look a little more closely then at the meaning of abiding in Christ. You know, it's one thing for us to know that Christ is the fountain of all blessing. We read that great invitation which Christ gives on the day of the feast when He says, if any man thirst, have a desire, especially for spiritual things, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers. Our Lord doesn't give little dribbles of spiritual grace. He says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It will fill you. And it will overflow to where your life impacts other people as well. That's the hope that Jesus gives us. But it's one thing for us to say, I know Christ is the fountain of all blessing, of all grace, of all fruitfulness. But ladies and gentlemen, it is quite another thing for us to actually drink of that fountain. For us to actually draw water out of that well. I've used this illustration before. I might ask you this morning, what is the second highest waterfall in South Carolina? And some of you may know from previous times where I've used the illustration. It's Ravencliff Falls. But it's one thing for you to know that historical detail. Ravencliff Falls is the second highest waterfall in South Carolina. Great. Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen the falls? Have you ever tasted the water? Have you ever waded there in the pool at the base of the falls? My friends, it's entirely different. There is a huge difference between knowing something intellectually up here in our brains so that we can recite it or restate it. But it's entirely another matter to know it experientially. To say, yes, I've been there. I've seen it. I've touched it. I've heard the roar of the water. I know what that falls is like. Now, my friends, Jesus is talking about someone who doesn't just know intellectually, if I abide in Christ, I'll bear fruit. He's talking about someone who knows what it means to abide. Experientially. They've been there. They've done that. They've felt and known and tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now, you can know what fruit is. You can know that fruit is absolutely necessary for your Christian life. You can know that abiding in Christ is the way that fruit will be born. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it comes down to two things. Do you really understand what abiding is? And perhaps even more importantly, are you doing it? Are you abiding in Christ? Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. What does that mean? Well, we just sang the hymn. It's a fairly well-known hymn, Abide with Me. When you sing that hymn and you say those words, what are you asking for? What is it that you're singing? What is it that you desire? If that reflects the desires of your heart, what is it that you want to happen? What you want to happen is for Christ to draw near. To be, as one of our former elders used to say, feelingly near. Sensibly near. I want to know the presence of Christ. But it's not just that. It is the idea that Christ will draw near and that He will be close to you, but that especially He will stay close. That He will not leave. That you will not know any sense of interruption of that presence and power and grace that you can draw from Him. Now, my friends, nothing less than that is what is in view here. Abiding in Christ is drawing near to Christ, close to Christ, and remaining close to Christ, continuing close to Christ. It's not just drawing near for 5 minutes a day, or a brief time of reading the Bible or saying a few words in prayer. What we're trying to see and understand and take hold of is that abiding in Christ is coming close to Him and then keeping and cultivating and continuing to enjoy the conscious presence of Christ in our lives. Now, this closeness, if that does not give you a clear picture of it, this closeness is illustrated by our Savior's example here. And He uses the imagery of a branch abiding in the vine. Now, all you have to do is picture a tree, a bush, a vine, and that branch abiding in the vine. That branch is not connected to the vine for 5 minutes early in the morning, or 10 or 15, and then again maybe for just a little while in the evening before it gets dark. The fact is that branch is vitally connected. Its very being is woven together with the constitution of the vine. And it draws from that vine its very life and health and strength. It's a picture every single one of us can comprehend well and understand. And my friends, in the same way, abiding in Christ is being close to Him. It's being connected to Him. And drawing from Him every single need that we have. Grace upon grace. It means that physically you're looking to Him, calling upon Him to provide. It means that spiritually, whatever those needs may be, you're looking to Christ. You're calling upon Him in prayer. You're looking to His Word for instruction. It means that every emotional, every intellectual, every financial need, whatever it may be, you're constantly and continuously connected to Christ. You're abiding in Him, having Him always near, referring everything and all things in your life to Him, you know, so that you're constantly in His presence. You know, when we talk about abiding and bearing fruit, these words are not hard to understand. You know what the hard part is? The hard part is taking hold and prying our hearts and our hands loose from this world and the things of this world so that we may have time to enter into close fellowship with Christ and not be distracted. Now, I hear it all the time, as perhaps you may hear, or perhaps even have offered the same excuse, because invariably when I ask people, How much time did you spend with Jesus Christ today? You want to see people change their countenance? You ask that question. Do you know what the answer is almost invariably? I don't have time. I've got so much to do. I'm so busy. And we're going to see a comment from Charles Bridges that I think extraordinarily narrowly addresses that. But let me just say this. They will say, I don't have time to draw near to Jesus. But in the very next breath, they'll tell me about a sporting event that took most of the day for them to attend. Or a TV program, or a movie they watched, or something that took hours. And they didn't bat an eye. Now, brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong, because I'm there with you. I struggle with this as much as any of you. The question, the problem, is not that we don't have time. The problem is the heart. The reason we don't abide with Christ is because we love the things of this world more than we love being with Christ. That's the problem. And until you turn that around, listen, my friends, until you turn that around, you will never bear fruit. You make all the plans and goals that you want, you will not bear fruit. Because if the branch does not abide in the vine, it cannot bear fruit. That's what Jesus is showing us. He's explaining to us that the problem is not a matter of time. We all have the same amount of time. The problem is the condition of our heart. And until we love Christ more than we love the things of this world, we are not going to know what abiding is all about. And until we abide, we're not going to bear fruit. So very clearly, Jesus is showing us the meaning of this abiding. But lastly, I want us to look at the results that occur as a result of abiding in Christ. In these words, Jesus tells us about two types of individuals, about two different kinds of experience, and ultimately about two different types of conditions. He speaks to us about those who bear fruit and those who do not. He speaks to us about those who abide in Him and those who do not. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I don't have to spell it out. The latter condition is not a place you want to be. When you read what Jesus says, the branch that does not bear fruit is cast out, gathered, and burned. A lot of debate over what exactly that means, but I don't care where you come down on it, it's not good. What Jesus is saying is, my disciples will abide in me. This is not optional. And they will bear fruit. Do you desire spiritual fruit? Are you longing to grow in your knowledge and in your understanding of what will happen when you abide in Christ? Jesus says, the branch that abides in me will bear much fruit. Not a trickle, but an overflowing river of living water. That's the picture. An abundance of spiritual grace and power is going to be supplied to those who abide. There's going to be more love for God, more love for the things of God. There's going to be a greater desire to serve and to minister to others. You're going to have that burden for the lost. You're going to pray like never before for those who don't know Christ. You're going to speak to others. Brethren, you don't generate that within yourself. It comes from abiding in Christ. And when we bemoan the fact that we just don't reach out, we don't talk to others about Christ, why? Because we're not abiding. Because if you abide, that is going to naturally take place. Your souls are going to be filled with a concern for those that are lost and undone. You're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness like never before. Not only are you personally going to see this fruit being born, there are three things Jesus tells us about the person who abides in Him, the results that take place. And I want you to look at them. Verses 7 and 8. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. John Brown of Edinburgh wrote these words. He says, it's not the obscurity of the expression, but the magnitude of the thought that perplexes us. You hear what Jesus just says? You abide in Me, and you ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. That's the result of abiding in Christ. Do you want more of God? I mean, honestly, sincerely, do you have a longing? Do you have a desire in your heart? Do you want more of God? More love? Do you want to pray more? Do you want to serve more? Do you want to be more faithful and diligent and more pleasing to God? Brethren, all you have to do is ask for it. And our Savior says, I will give it to you. But you must abide. You must consciously and purposely make time to spend with Jesus and seek to cultivate and maintain and continue in that abiding throughout the day. Jesus says, you ask whatever you desire. You want grace. You want holiness. You want fruit. All you have to do is ask, and He will give it to you. And secondly, you will glorify God. Jesus says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. And then He says, by this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not only do you have this blank check, as it were, fill it in, I'll sign it. But Jesus says, My Father will be glorified. My friends, I would ask you, if you could name one blessing, one great goal for this new year, would it not be this, that I would glorify God? You want to glorify God? You abide in Christ. Because when you abide in Christ, you will bring forth much fruit. And God the Father will be glorified. I don't think we could ask for more than that. And last thing that Jesus says is, you will be recognized unmistakably as the disciples of Christ. One of the problems or sad circumstances that I encounter as a pastor is many times I'm called upon to do funerals for people outside this congregation. And I can't adequately express to you the grief that it is to say to a family member, was he a Christian? And to have them respond, I think so. Not absolutely sure, but I hope so. You know, maybe in the last 5 minutes he called on the Lord to save him. Remember what J.C. Ryle says? Men usually die as they have lived. And if they live their whole lives without Christ, most likely they died without Christ. Now, that's not to say deathbed conversions don't take place, but can you imagine what it would be for people to look at your life and say, well, you know, he professed Christ, but I'm just not sure. If you abide in Christ, you bring forth fruit, and there will be no doubt whatsoever that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can ask what you will, and he will give it. God the Father will be glorified. And there will be no mistaking this fact that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Remember how Jesus puts it in the Sermon on the Mount. By their fruits you shall know them. Words are easy to say. Have your name on a membership roll, that's not real difficult to accomplish. But by their fruit, you shall know them. What's your goal for the new year? I hope it's to bear more fruit to the glory of God. Brethren, I hope it happens. But it will only happen if you abide in Christ. As the branch abides continuously in the vine. May God bless His Word to our hearts today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have not dealt with us as our sins deserve. But like a father who often pities his children in their weakness and frailty, with all their good intentions, their constant failings, and you have mercy upon us. We ask now that you will draw near, that you will comfort us, that you will instruct us, that you will stir up our hearts and minds in the simple instructions you have given us in this passage. O Lord, make your word effectual in our hearts and in our lives to change us and draw us and keep us near to Christ your Son. Bless now as we continue in our time of observing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and use it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name.